I have a very large subject on my mind, and before we get started, I talked to Brother Randy about it, and I told him what I had thought I'd try to preach on, and I said, I'm just going to be able to just introduce this today, and I hope, and I kind of baited him a little bit. I said, I hope that you will pick it up next Sunday and go ahead with it, but I want to speak, first of all, just to start this morning, in James chapter 1, verse 17, James is a very, convicting, pointed book, but he makes a statement here, and I'll read verse 16 too. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift. Notice it says every good gift. I've read this wrong so many times. But there's a conjunction between those. It's a every good gift and every perfect gift. There's two different, and the gifts there. First of all, there's a good gift and there's perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, there is a little verse, but the part I want out of there, good gifts and the perfect gifts. Now, I tried to think about, well, each one of us for this morning could probably think of a good gift that God has given you. Now I want us to understand that the gift, the word gift when I give something to somebody, it's not because they deserve it, but because I want them and I love them and I want them to have it. God gives us gifts and they're not by our merit. They're not because we deserve them, but because he loves us and because he gives them to us by grace. By grace. You know, it's we like to quote that Ephesians 2 and 8. It says, by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. That is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, people say, well, what's the it? Well, by grace are you saved. Grace is an unmerited favor bestowed upon unworthy creatures. By grace are you saved. By grace are you delivered. Every deliverance that we can think of, there's many deliverances. There is eternal deliverance, and there is a timely deliverance. But every one of those deliverances is by grace. It's not the things that we were saying. Now he said, by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. We know that by the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is something that God gives you when you're born of the Spirit of God, you get faith. It is a gift of God. So faith is a gift of God, right? By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So faith is a gift of God, but salvation in particular is a gift of God. It is. By grace are you saved? Through faith. Now, I want to think about gifts in the sense of a good gift. And we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. It will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your many blessings. Over in Psalms, it says, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says the Lord daily loads us with his benefits. He daily gives us these things. So one gift, and I've thought about these good gifts, and I want you to understand that God does not give you bad stuff. If God gives you a gift, it's something that's going to be good for you. Will you say amen to that? Now, I want to tell you one of the best gifts that God has given me. And that's a wife of 54 years. Now, God gave me that woman. And I have responsibility to appreciate her as a gift of God. I have responsibilities according to the scriptures to treat her and to love her as Christ loved his church. And you ask me, you said, Brother, I have failed in a lot of ways. But I am still working on that. 54 years, we've done, you know, it's a pretty good place to start. Brother Bill and Sister McCarthy were married 63 years. And now, the gift is perfect. I want you to understand that, David. The gift is perfect. Maybe because she's a human being, she may have a few flaws. But I certainly have some. But I want to say that my wife is a gift from God. And it's a good gift. You know, Proverbs says, a man that has found a wife had found a good thing. A man that has found a wife had found a good thing. And then you look at Proverbs chapter 31. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, I think I read this at your mother's funeral. Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And I can look at you ladies, and I hope that you feel the same about your spouses as we do. But now, grandchildren, or children. I have three children. They're gifts. They're good gifts. And I have four. I have two grandsons, two granddaughters. And they're both just lovely. I love them. I want to read a verse out of Proverbs, if I can, right quickly. And I want to read Proverbs 17 and 6 concerning these children. Now notice it says, verse 6, children's children. You know what children's children are? That's my grandbabies. Children's children. Children's children are the crown of an old man. And David, if you don't know that, you will before long. Your children's children are a crown. What is a crown? That's something you wear. That's something that makes you look good. Children's children are the crown of men. And the glory of children are their fathers. That's a marvelous text. But grandchildren are great. You know, I've said this before. I said, if I knew how much fun grandchildren was, I'd had them first. You know, I love my grandchildren. They make me look good, especially when they come and they crawl up in my lap and they say, Papa, Papa. I said, what? I love you. I said, oh. But anyway, think about the good gifts that God's given us. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. One, two, three, four. See, you're my blessings here at Oxford. I have many wonderful blessings. And one of the greatest blessings I have, and I just because their daughters are here, but Dean Bolsinger was a gift to me. From God. And Harry, Brother Harry was and I have had the privilege of being associated with so many wonderful people. I still remember Kay, as sweet as she was. She was a gift. But then there's perfect gifts. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal salvation is a gift from God. Every one of us that are here today are gifts of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus is a gift that God gave us. And not only that, God gave us to him. So when we think about these good gifts and all the things that we have salvation, redemption, election, all of these wonderful things that God did before the foundation of the world, can you believe that God would love us You know, people say, I don't understand. They said, but Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And they said, I just don't understand that. Why would God hate anybody? I mean, I think God loves everybody. I said, I can understand exactly how God hated Esau, but I, for the life of me, I cannot understand why he would love Jacob. Jacob was a liar. He was a deceiver. That's what his name means. Hey, one that trips up the hills. He was a scoundrel. But God changed his name. I want you to see this. God changed Jacob's name from Jacob, which means a supplanter or a deceiver, into a prince of God. He said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel, because with God you have found favor. So God changes us, and he gives us the gift of eternal life. So that's a perfect gift. And you can, I want you to just use this as a place to start and go down and make your own list and think about all the gifts. Now, a gift, remember, a gift is something that is by grace. It's given without any ties or strings attached to it. Now, with that, I want to, we in Oklahoma City, it's been one of the, you know, we start. In various books, we've had Hebrews and Romans and Ephesians, and we've been having Bible study there at Oklahoma City for 40 years, and we've done a lot of different subjects, a lot of different texts. But you think we've got everything learned? That's a funny one. But right now we're in 1 Corinthians, and we take a chapter every week, and do a chapter. We'll read it and then we'll discuss it and talk about. A lot of times we go word by word and verse by verse and paragraph by paragraph. But the main thing that we need to understand when we're studying the scriptures is to read in the context that they're given. Joe Holder, bless his heart, he's one of my mentors, a California preacher. But he says there's three main rules of Bible study. And if you'll get these down, you'll get it right. Context, context, context. You know, the real estaters, they say location, location, location. Studying the Bible, it's context. You've got to take, you can take one word out of context and make it mean anything you want to. But you read it in the context that it's written. And one of the things that we need to understand that these chapter divisions were not inspired. The chapter divisions that's in here, Paul didn't say and write these things in 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. The chapters and concordance and so forth, those are helps that we have, and I'm thankful for them. But when Paul didn't write now chapter 1 and chapter 2 and so forth, this is a letter. This is a letter. When you get a letter, you don't read it. You don't read first page today. And well, I read page one. I'll read page two tomorrow. When we're reading a letter, we want to read the whole thing as a unit. And specifically, I want First Corinthians is a. I mean, first of all, he says unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Now that's an important point that you need to understand, because there is a lot of stuff wrong with this church. Okay? And Paul, his duty as a minister is the scriptures are for correction, instruction in righteousness. And so and the point that we need to understand before we go any further is that this is God with Corinth. To them sanctify Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So when he says that you are, this is the church of Jesus Christ, you are sanctified, you are saints. The word saint means you're a holy person. So Paul is not here addressing these people in a disparaging way. He wants us to understand that this is a church of Jesus Christ, that these people are sanctified. They're God's children. But then he says, now, and I want to read verse 10 and 11 of this first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Brother David, if you want to have a theme for this 1 Corinthians, this book, this letter, that's it. It's unity, no divisions, and act like God's people instead of acting like individual, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to individual jerks. God has born us again. We have eternal life inside. Jesus is in us and we're in him. But sometimes we act like we're not even children of God. The way we talk, where we go and the things we do and all these things, these are important things that we may glorify him. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul is going to, he's going to correct these people. First of all, in this first chapter, notice verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There is this, I don't know who Chloe is, but there was a house out here that they'd perhaps been to visit this church at Corinth. And they come back and they tell Paul, them people down there, they just argue and fight all the time. He said, one of them says, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Peter, and I'm of Paul. And they've got all these divisions among them. And notice what the Apostle Paul says. He says, is divided. And that's the point. Divide. If you're going to, you can't have unity and division at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. So the Apostle Paul, he says, let me see where I want to get to now. He says, anyway, he says, verse 13, Brother David. Is Christ divided? That's a question. Is Christ divided? Is there this group and this group and this group, and we're all separate groups. I'm of this man and I'm of this man. And you know what Apostle Paul said? Is Christ divided? Was Christ crucified for you? Was Christ crucified for you? I'm sorry. Was Paul crucified for you? I'm of Paul. Well, Paul says, Was I crucified for you? Am I your Savior? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Sister Harriet, was you baptized in the name of Alan? You baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior, and I am, and the ministers that come before you are just, they're just mouthpieces. They're just men. Minister itself means a servant. We're servants to the Lord's people. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I was baptized, that you was baptized in my name. So we have preacher worshipers. And then you just keep on going through here and you got a bad case of adultery and fornication in chapter 5. And you keep on through. Now, Paul is chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians is a wonderful chapter for married people. It is very specific. It gets right down to the nitty gritty about how married people should conduct themselves. Now, but I want to see, notice verse 1 of chapter 7, then we're going to move on. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, if you stop right there, that means I can't even hug Joe or any, I can't touch any of you women. That's not what it's talking about. And if you're going down in there, you're going to find out that the word touch has a different meaning than just putting your finger or hugging somebody. It's talking about intimately. But the point I wanted out of that first verse, he says, now concerning the things which you wrote unto me. These people, even after the Apostle Paul was correcting them, but they have written letters to Paul. Think about that. Concerning the things which you wrote unto me, the Apostle Paul is going to spend almost the rest of this book answering their questions. They would ask this question about what, about marriage and about all these things, about baptisms and about gifts and all these different, various things. In chapter 8, it deals with idols and so forth. And in chapter 9 and so forth, he talks about, they said, well, what about giving? How is it that we should give? He said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And he tells them right away that if you don't, when you give to the Lord's people and to the church, you don't give grudgingly, but you give liberally. As the Lord, he said, let every man give according as God has purposed in your heart to give. They said, well, what about tithing? Well, it's not listed here, but tithing was a law under the law service, and it was required to give at least 10% under the law. Now, I will go this far with that. 10% is a good place for you to start. When you're under the New Testament, is there any time under the New Testament, under the New Covenant, where you was required to do less than under the law? I don't think so. But the Lord doesn't put the law on you, but he says, examine your heart. Has God blessed you? He said, let every man give according as God has prospered you. And if you do this, but my wife and I have tried to do this for 54 years. And the Lord's blessed us. Now, he takes care of that issue, Brother David, in chapter 9 and chapter 10. He talks about baptism in Moses, under Moses and under the cloud and so forth. And chapter 11, I'm sure that you've heard chapter 11 talked about before. This is the chapter that he deals with communion service. Now, in this chapter 11, and he also talks about women, he talks about the head, the covering and so forth. We had a big discussion over this. You know, when you said the head of the man is Christ, well, the head, it's kind of a chain, I like to call it the chain of command. The head of Christ is God. The head of the man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and it goes on down. And he's here, and we'll get more in specifically in this, and when we get on later in this chapter. But specifically, I think he's dealing with the particular gifts and places that we find in our church. God did not call a woman to preach the gospel. Period. Now, you your sisters know this. A lot of folks out here in the world that don't know this. And I'm telling you, there is women have a place in the church. You're a gift of God to the church. You are gifts, the gifts that God has given to this church is sweet and precious with you, dear sisters. It says that the sisters are to be teaching the younger folks how that they should do. And I tell you one thing, I'd hate to have a church that didn't have a sister in it. God has given the church gifts. And you are part of that. But he's teaching here. It says, verse 12, I'll just get that one verse. For as the woman is, chapter 11, verse 12. For as the woman is of the man. The man is not of the woman. God didn't make the woman and then make a man out of the woman. He made the man and took the woman out of the man. And whether or not the women livers want to admit it or not, the woman is the weaker vessel. The Paul says that. There's some things that my wife is very, don't tell her I said this. That'd probably be, but she's very smart.
She's very intelligent.
And she can read me like a book. You know, it's scary, David, when they start thinking for you. You've been married as long as my wife and I have. We read each other's minds. But it says, the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things are of God. There's never, now that's the play on words, you'd think. The woman is of the man, but the man is of the woman. There's never been a man born on this earth except Jesus that didn't come forth from a woman. And I have always said this, the hand that rocks the cradle will rule the world. Mothers are a gift of God. Grandmothers are a gift of God. Paul praises the women. He said, Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And the faith that you have, I am convinced that was in your mother Lois and your grandmother Eunice. I think I got that right. And he says, I'm convinced that it's in you too. But he says, the faith that I saw in your mother and your grandmother, they taught you the Holy Scriptures when you were little. You know, people would say, well, when do you start teaching the children? My daughter talked to her baby before they ever come out of the womb. She'd sing to them. I think that's a little silly. Well, you don't know. John the Baptist would leap for joy in his mother's womb at the salutation of Mary. Don't sell God short. But he talks about coverings. Study these coverings. Who is the covering? Man, Jesus is the covering of man. He's the head. He's the head of the man and the woman. But anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in that. But then he just goes from there right to chapter 12. And if we could read these chapters in the manner that they're supposed to be read, and I know it takes a long time, and we as at the Oklahoma City Church, we've been on 1 Corinthians 11. We take one chapter a week. So, we just finished chapter 12. You can sign up for math. We've been just about maybe 4 months or 3 or 4 months to get to chapter 12. So, who you think? I told Brother Randy, he said, what are you going to preach on? I said, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. And he said, I said, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Well, but notice the reason I read chapter 7, verse 1 is because it starts the same way. Notice this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The word ignorant and Paul uses that several times. He said, I would not have you be ignorant. That's not a derogatory term if you look at it in the way that he means it. He simply means, I would not have you to be without knowledge about spiritual gifts. And remember, a gift is from God. It comes by grace and given for a specific purpose. Now, I want to read just a few verses in chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles. Now, it's a good thing for us to look back and see where we came from. You were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols. You were idolaters. You were worshiping idols. You Gentiles were not, you were not even in the covenant, in the old covenant. According to the covenant, you were just considered to be a dog. You were insignificant to the commonwealth of Israel. So who are you to think you deserve anything, huh? You think you deserve to be part of this church? Not on your life. ye know ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand. See that word ignorant, Brother David, comes right back. I want you to understand. I don't want you to be without knowledge of these things. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, that first part of that text, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Now, Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, didn't he? Now, you can go out here and you can curse and you can say things that you know is not right and talk bad. And, you know, you ever heard of the expression, OMG? People say that all the time. Oh my God. They say that as a byword and as something, they don't have any clue who they're, I mean, oh my God, oh my God. That's how David addressed God. Oh my God, oh my Lord. So, said, no man, now, I want you to see what he means here. If you have the Spirit of God inside of you. It lives in there. It dwells within your soul. And it will be there until it is released to go to heaven. There is something inside of you right now that needs no more changing. It is the new man, it's inside of you, and it lives in these bodies of clay, these tabernacles, these old men. The old man, the new man is what drug you to church. I mean, the old man is, and he said, do you, and he gets that in chapter 6, Brother David, he said, don't you understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Do you not understand that these bodies belong to God? That when he redeemed you by his blood, he purchased you body, soul, and spirit, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And these people that go around say, well, it's my body, I'll do what I want to with it. No, it's not your body. If you're a child of God, it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to treat it as if it was his property. It belongs to him. So if that spirit, now, you may get so down in the dumps and so depressed and forget about God and whatever it is that you can do that will cause you to walk away from God. Now, David did that, the psalmist David. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of it by walking contrary to God's teachings. And we can do that. But by the spirit of, if you call God accursed, you're not saying it by God's Spirit. No man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. Can't. But on the other side of that, no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Do you confess him today as your Lord Jesus Christ? Of course we do. And don't take that for granted. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God and that he came to this world and died for your sins, that is a gift from God. You even know that. And that's why the apostle said, don't you start bragging about it. And these people, Brother David, they were glorying in their own self. They were lifting up, being puffed. And arrogant and all this stuff about my gift's better than your gift, and if you don't have this gift, then you're just not anything. Now, and he goes on, he says, now there are diversities of gifts. There are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are diversities administration, but it's the same Lord. I want you to get the points he's making here. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For by one is given the Spirit of the world wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, but the same Spirit, to one the faith, and by the same Spirit, to one gifts of healing and so forth. And he goes all the way down through there, but he says all of these things. Now, we need to understand this point. These are gifts from God to the church. You can't go out and get one of these. He said, I'd like to have that. That's covetousness. Now, he tells us, we're going to get into covet up here in this, in the last of that chapter. But the point I want us to make here is that we're the body is one member. Notice verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? Can the foot say, well, you're not part of the body. I'm more important than you. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is therefore it not of the body? He takes the analogy of the human body. Every part that we have is important. It all has a function. It's all given to us. Make any mistakes. Brother Bill McCarthy said, God didn't never say oops. He never said oops. He never said oops, messed up. But God made, he made all these things and they're good and very good. They're all good. Man's what messed everything up. But these bodies, I want you to think, it blows your mind. They've studied the eye sometimes. How meticulous. How could God, man could not make an eye. I mean, he could make something similar, I guess, with some computer. Now that eye, you know, when you look at, it's inverted image. Look, it is. The eye takes something, just turns it around, and it sends a signal to your brain. I see you drinking that water. You know how I knew it? Because I could see it in my brain. I'm drinking. But anyway, the point here is this. The body is all functioning together as one. My finger is just as part of my body as my little toe. You say, that little toe's not very important. Well, stump it and let me tell you, see how important it is. If that little toe hurts, your entire body knows it. And if some part of our body as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's one little member, Brother Claudius, and all of these members that we prayed for, we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ should know the pulse of every member here. And when they are hurting, we ought to rush to their aid. That's what the church was made for. It's made as a body to serve each other and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know I'm way old. I'm good. Y'all will tell me. I know you will. Now, all right. Now, look at verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the foot, I don't need you. Nay, but more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There is no big eyes and little U's in the Church of Jesus Christ. These little girls and the smallest member are just as important as the minister is. And if we get that in our minds and understand these are gifts. You're a gift, David. I truly believe that God gave you to this church. I really do. And don't take that for granted, because it came from Him. Amen, brother. Now notice, we're going down. He says, Now, he did all this. What's the purpose of all these? What's the purpose of these gifts? That's the point I wanted to leave you with this morning. What's the purpose? No divisions. Unity. We are to all have the same. We are to be in agreement. We're supposed to have the same love for each other and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to function as a unit, as a body, and not as individual. God didn't give these gifts outside of the church. I want you to understand that. These are gifts to the church. They're not, and I told you, I said, it's not about you, and it's not about you, and it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the Lord's church. He is the one that is the head of it. We need to understand these wonderful principles. That he did this that there should be no schisms in the body. A schism is a division. But that the members should have the same care. Listen to this beautiful text. The members should have the same care one for another. The same care. And where the one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member, if one member be honored, all members should rejoice with it. We rejoice with you. And when you're sad, we're sad. When you have heartaches, I have heartaches. Brother, if we could just get these things down and understand what a blessing we are to each other. We are the body, listen, we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has that. Some in the church, now there's some of these gifts, and I could go on about the individually, each one of them. In your notes, put down Ephesians chapter 4 and read it. I had in mind to talk about that a little too, but I don't have time. Our time's already up. But notice, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And he asked the question, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have this gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues and do all interpret? The answer is obviously no. We're all, now, I want, and I'll close this. The word set, S-E-T, and set. God has set some in the church. That word set, now, here, I'm going to give an illustration. I set this down. The bottle didn't do anything. I'm the active one. God is the one that sits it down. And I set this in this little tray. I didn't set it on the outside. I set it on the inside because that's where I want it. That makes sense? God set these gifts in the church because that's what He wanted in there. Now, did He set out anything? You say, is there any way that man could go ahead and help God and maybe improve his church? Is there anything that He didn't put in it that it needed? Then we ought to be satisfied with what's in it and treat these gifts the way God set them up and not think about this gift is better than this gift and this gift. That's the whole point here. All these gifts. And Randy, you listening? You start with chapter 13, will you? All right. Now notice, and I'm going to quit. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. The word covet, there is the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. That's in a bad way. But the word covet simply means to desire, to earnestly desire. Covet means to seek, to want it, to seek those things, to earnestly desire to have something. And so he says, have an earnest desire for the best gifts, and I show it to you a more excellent way. And then he goes right. And the chapter division, it doesn't end and say, well, I don't have time to go through there, but it just goes right on the same. There's no change of thought. We could perhaps put a paragraph here. but not a chapter division. It says, though I speak of men and of angels, not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity, nothing. Nothing. The most excellent way is love. I'm the gift of God to the Primitive Baptist. You know, there's some people that do, it scares the heck out of me that there's people out there that think that. I don't know what Primitive Baptists do without me. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you the way it is. There's some people out there that thinks they're the policemen of the Primitive Baptist, and they can tell everybody how to do their work and how to operate their business. They have no authority whatsoever over Oxford Primitive Baptist Church. Zero. We answer to our head, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Him only. And these popes that set themselves up excuse me, but I think that's the way, and this is going on tape. There is nobody that's the boss of this church except the Lord. And if we want to continue to function as a church, we've got to follow the pattern set forth in the Scripture. And I'm going to have to shut up. 1 Corinthians 13 goes right into 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 deals with the abuse of one of these gifts. And this is where we find this text in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. What's most important? Understanding. And I used this up to Oklahoma City. I said, 5 words with understanding. Okay, let's see. 5 words. By grace are ye saved. Do you get it? That's 5. Do you understand 5 words? By grace are ye saved. 5 words. All right, here's another one. With men, this is impossible. 5 words. Do you understand those? All right, now, I'll give you another little ditty that I picked up. Now, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Think about that. I don't care how much you think you know. I don't care how much you know. I really don't care how much you know until I find out how much you care. I mean, I thought, wow, I wish I'd have thought of that. But he says, I don't really care how much you know. I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. When I find out how much you care, then I'll know how much you really know.